Welcome, Dewback Rustlers and Wampa Rangers, to episode 153 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where the force is with us, always. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Kim.
And in this straight-shooting episode, we're going to address the 6,000-ton rancor in the room and jump right into our impressions of the new Star Wars Episode 7 trailer. Tons obviously being a different unit of measurement in a galaxy far away, because 6,000 tons would be massive, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, it's all relative, right?
Tatooine's gravity was very high.
Yeah. There you go, there you go. I'm guessing the Rancor's maybe around a ton.
Who knows?
And it's ton with an E at the end, and two N's.
Yeah, yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. They and it's Rancor, O-U-R.
Would that be the French version of a Rancor?
French or British, they do the O-U-R thing too. And Imperial. The Imperials definitely spell with O-U-R, right, Brian?
Yeah, they would be very British.
Anyway, yeah, this is sort of off our normal format. We're going to dispense with the news extravaganza and the weekly geekly updates, because this has sort of consumed our week. We're all pretty excited. It's no surprise to anyone, I'm sure, that as a nerd-themed podcast, we have watched a couple of the Star Wars movies. Star Wars being a science fantasy movie series. Is that fair to say, guys?
That's the one with Captain Kirk, right?
Very often confused, very similar, but a little bit different. They've got like these space wizards and knights. Have you heard of it?
It's not ringing a bell.
Well, okay. We'll fill you in as we go.
School me right now, yeah.
sure. Seriously, though, yeah, this trailer, like, I have had a very cautious level of optimism, and this trailer seems to have cemented my optimism. Like, I'm over the hump. Based on what I've seen so far, I think they might actually be bringing the series back from the disastrous prequel era. Guys, what do you think?
Yeah, it definitely blew my skepticism out of the water. I mean, I had a high level of skepticism even after the first trailer, and this one just sort of put me on a whole different plane of thinking. I still always have that creeping suspicion in the back of my mind that I'm still going to be let down, but, you know, no telling until December, I guess.
Yep.
Cam kind of nailed it just then. He said, like, on a different plane of thinking. I don't know exactly what about me changed, and it wasn't necessarily just the trailer, but it was all the stuff coming out of Anaheim this past week, that it got worse for me, and then I just kind of like accepted it and got better. So obviously the new movie is A Force Awakens, and they're talking about Seven kind of being passing the torch to the new characters. Someone also said, well, it's about passing the torch to the new fans too. And I honestly have never felt like a bigger dick in my entire life. I was just like, you know what? You're right. I had this fucking awesome thing when I was a kid, and it's time for me to let, like, you know, people from a different time, like, take it and run. So it's probably not going to be what I want it to be, but I'm pretty comfortable it's going to be what it needs to be. And that excites me.
Very well put, Brian. That's very well put, and I hope you're right.
That's pretty deep, Brian.
I try.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think, Brian, you and I talked about this, too, back in the episode we did when we, I forget which number it was, we'll have to post it in the show notes, but the one where we talked about, you know, has our childhood passed us by? Are we ever going to, you know, get that childhood feeling about Star Wars? Like, I think it was actually when we discussed the first trailer. And, you know, that was, I think, what we all sort of came to a conclusion would be really the only way for them to sort of, quote unquote, save things. I mean, it's never going to be what we loved so much as a kid, but it can be what so many more people and new, you know, all these new kids, all the new kids and all the, you know, all the younger people can love as a kid now. And so it's, you know, you said it, like, passing the torch. I mean, we as fans sort of need to just get over ourselves and understand that it's never going to be that, you know, what it was for us back then. but it can be something really magical and really amazing for that 10-year-old that's going to see it for the first time.
Well, I've always said that Star Wars is three equal parts. One part being awesome, one part being cheese, and one part a 12-year-old somewhere going, oh, cool.
So you're sort of confident, Chris, that this movie could serve all masters, based on the trailer, of course.
Well, you know, everybody in here has been saying it's been passing on the torch, whether they're going to feel like they're 8 years old again. And I swear I've seen about 8 web comics that are all that same theme of like, oh, I'm going to watch the trailer, shows grumpy old fan, and then the trailer shows and suddenly he's transformed or she's transformed into 8 years old.
Yeah, I hope that passing the torch, let's see, maybe another way to put it is that it means lighting up some more torches using the existing torch, so it doesn't necessarily have to be passed. We can continue on the journey with torch in hand along with some new people, if that makes sense.
I mean, I think that's going to come down to the individual, whether or not you can, you know, sort of, you know, change your mode of thinking. You know what I mean? If you're willing to go along with the new fans, then I think it'll work out fine. But if you're, you know, like that comic book guy, you know, worst movie ever mindset, then it's probably not going to happen for you.
I'm well ready. I kind of was hoping this was a quote-unquote torch, quote-unquote, as though we haven't used the term 50 times already. I was hoping this was a torch passing occasion. If not this movie, then maybe the trilogy. Because, you know, I love the original cast, but at a certain point, you know, you don't necessarily want just, you know, the aging heroes having center stage. You want things moving on to a new generation if you want Star Wars to be fresh and new going forward. I mean, I'd like there to be some kind of continuation of the Star Wars story as long as it's good for the rest of my life, to be truthful.
Right. And you said, it's funny you said new generation, but it and, you know, back to sort of the joke I made at the beginning of the show. I mean, look at what Star Trek did with Next Generation.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that just spawned a whole just massive amount of new fans for the franchise. And, you know, so, some of the later iterations were not as popular, obviously. But, I mean, you know, I really think that if they follow that same model, they're likely to hopefully hold on to as many of the old fans as possible, which, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we're still going to love Star Wars regardless, you know. But at the same time, capture, you know, the hearts and minds of all the, you know, younger people now as well.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that this passing of the torch is going to be executed much better than it was in the Star Trek films.
Hmm. How so?
Well, remember their passing of the torch was they kind of had like a time loop going on and then Kirk just falls off a bridge. Or the bridge falls with Kirk or bridge falls on Kirk. I can't remember which, but it was, it didn't. You know, I didn't feel like it did justice.
You kind of wanted to see Kirk go out, like, you know, leading a final charge against some insane Borg invasion or something, right?
Well, I think he saved, I mean, he saved everyone, I mean, by doing what he did. I mean, he saved that, I think it was that bomb that was going to go and destroy the star or something. He was in the Nexus.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was able to get out, and then, you know, he ended up dying, saving, like, you know, saving the solar system or whatever. But, I mean, yeah, you're right, Chris. I mean, It sort of left you with a bitter taste in your mouth, but, you know, at the same time, those movies were all pretty horrible anyway. All the, you know, I mean, except for Wrath of Khan and, you know, a couple of the other originals, you know, they just never got there until they did the reboot.
First Contact was pretty good.
Funny you should mention the reboot, right?
Well, Mr. Abrams.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, right. Yes. So the individual responsible for the reboot and the renewal of hope in Star Wars, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And some people are already kind of grouching like, oh, well, you said, you know, Star Trek was kind of okay, but now you're being very reverent to the material. What's your change in motivation there? I've heard there's a little fan bite to some of his comments from the Star Trek corner.
Well, ultimately, he was hired to reboot Star Trek and hired to continue Star Wars canon. I don't even know if that's, like, you know, his choice.
So when you say he was Okay, so he was given more freedom with Star Trek than with Star Wars, Brian? I mean, he's got a certain body of... He's got a certain framework within which he must operate with Star Wars that maybe is not there with Star Trek?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks this is a reboot.
No, no.
Like, hopefully he's, you know, rekindling some fires or whatever, but he's not wiping out everything that happened before. Whereas I don't think anyone thought Star Trek was going to be terribly faithful or be a continuation. I was surprised at how faithful it was. Oh, all that other stuff did happen, but now it's another universe, and I thought it was just going to be like, I'd pretend that shit never happened.
Well, you know, Disney did that for him because, you know, they said, expanded universe stuff, we're going to use that for inspiration, but none of that is considered canon at this point. That really freed him up.
Let's just take a moment, though, for a second and look at J.J. Abrams. I mean, look, I am the last person to, like, gush over a celebrity. I really couldn't give a shit most of the time. But this guy is a fucking badass, man. I mean, if you just look at his resume going back to Alias, who didn't love that show back in the day? I mean, I didn't even know this, but he wrote Mission Impossible 3.
The best one.
Yeah, he wrote Armageddon, which isn't that great of a... But I mean...
Armageddon.
Who doesn't like Armageddon? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And then Super 8, amazing movie. Lost, which is one of my top five shows of all time. Fringe, which is an amazing show. I mean, and that's pre-Star Trek, Star Wars, any of that shit. He produced the movie Cloverfield, which I think is completely underrated.
I like it.
I don't know. The guy's resume to me is just off the charts. Off the charts. Revolution, Believe, which was a good show. Person of Interest, which is a great show right now. He's an executive producer on. I mean, Almost Human. The guy, it just goes on and on.
No question from me regarding his credentials, Cam. I do have a question for you, though. I heard at one point in time that he was on board for just the first movie and then they were going to hand off to someone else. Is that true, or is he on for like a whole trilogy?
You mean for Star Wars?
Yeah.
No. I think he's in it for the long haul.
Okay.
He is doing Star Trek 3 as well as a producer. I don't know about a director. He will be, I don't know if he'll be the director of 2 or 3, but I'm pretty sure he will be involved in some way in terms as writing and producing. And he is also doing a Cloverfield sequel, which, speaking of Cloverfield, which I'm pretty excited about. And he is doing a Half-Life and Portal movie.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are slated for like 2016, 2017.
You know, I'm hearing echoes. Okay. Talk about a new generation of fan. Picture an 8-year-old now growing up in this sea of great releases by talented people, as you just mentioned, all these comic book movies, all the movies you just mentioned that Abrams is working on, etc. I mean, do these kids maybe have it as good as we did in the 80s? Because some friends of mine and I enumerated like all of the awesome 80s movies the other day that we remember, and it was just insane how many there were. Are we maybe seeing another kind of mini golden age going on right now?
It's hard to equate because those movies were so bad they were good. I mean, come on, look at the Ninja Turtle movies. You know what I mean? Like, I fucking love the Ninja Turtles, but God, those were some ghastly movies, you know? And the Batman movies, the first one was great, but I mean, all the other ones were terrible. I think, yes, I agree that it probably is a golden age, hopefully, but I think it's more technology driven than anything else. I mean, I think you obviously this guy is super talented. By the way, he's not even 50 yet, so he's still a relatively young man. And so you have guys like him that are pushing the genre forward and really making it special. But they're really being aided, I think, as well with the technology and the just the media in general and just the juggernaut that these things become because of social media and. And the like.
Well, so far, I think I've been seeing a lot of more baby boomers losing their shit over all the stuff that's coming out. I have one guy, I mean, 5-6 years ago, he was excited for all this. And now it's just like, oh, you kids, you superheroes, you're CGI. You know, it's just, he goes on and on until the Daredevil TV show popped up last week. But,
oh.
Which is fucking amazing, by the way.
Uh, Okay, I'll say this. Speaking of baby boomers, my parents qualify. I have set dates with my parents, to my mom and my dad, to go see Star Wars. Like, they saw a trailer or they heard about it and they both want to take me. Like, I'm a 7-year-old again. And I've been holding out hope for this for a long time. Like, I've been wishing for an episode 7. And, you know, I've mentioned this before, and I'm not going to go down the bitter road again, but the naysayers, oh, we can't have an episode 7. Why? Because in the expanded universe, you know, these books are written and this is canon, blah, blah, blah. This is like a double victory for me. On one hand, all those nerds could just shut up and stuff it. On the other hand, we're getting more Star Wars, and I'm really excited about that. I've had time to digest it now, so I'm not as like just losing it as I was earlier. But I'm pretty jazzed. I'm at like 9.9 out of 10 in terms of excitement right now.
It sounds like you've got a win-win going on there, buddy.
I do. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I'm there with you though, Tom.
While everyone's super excited, I will ask this question. Why are you more excited for this movie than you were for those books or for the comic series that just had its run from Dark Horse or whatever?
I'll answer first, I guess, but I'm by no means answering for anybody else, of course, when I say this. Because the quintessential Star Wars experience is sitting in a theater watching a movie to me. That is the core Star Wars experience. And what happens in the theaters matters the most to me.
I would agree with that. I would probably go along with that.
Well, for me, it's real crystal. The other stuff I would occasionally dabble in, but I've never been a big guy to get into any sort of franchise expanding. I've never read a Halo novel. I haven't read any 40K stuff. There's been Babylon 5 novels and this and that. Once in 3 to 4 years, I might pick up something in that nature in one or franchise or another to read. It may be only because somebody said it's really, really, really awesome. You got to check it out. That stuff's never been a draw for me.
I've dabbled in the Star Wars EU, and I've definitely dabbled in the Doctor Who EU stuff. But I mean, it sort of comes back for me to what Tom said. I mean, I want to go into the movie theater. I want to sit down and I want to fucking have my mind blown by a movie, you know?
Yep.
Like a book or a comic book, or like in the case of Doctor Who, they have like these radio shows and radio novella sort of things. Like, those are cool. And they sort of, you know, get you through the times in between seasons or in between movies and stuff like that. And you know, but to me, that's always sort of what they've been, is filler, you know, and sort of just that, like, that fix to get you through until something else happens, you know, but the movie is where it's at.
So, Brian, those are our answers. Did you have a sort of a point to make regarding that, or?
For me, it's always been canon, because once I knew the books didn't really count, I was just kind of like, well, I mean, why confuse yourself? Why know all this stuff if they're just not going to use it? Or, you know, even once upon a time, someone said, like, well, there's this level canon and that level canon, and I just want canon. Which was my point. And I'm really surprised. Maybe I missed it and it's old news, or maybe people just don't care as much as I do or anything. But it was confirmed during Anaheim. The comic books and the new books, like the new novels coming out, like the Tarkin novel and everything, they're canon.
So, no more EU. What gets released now, what gets greenlighted now, is first-tier, incontrovertible canon.
Existing content, I think it was April 2014, is canon until it's not, is what they're calling it. So, in other words, you can believe it as long as nothing else contradicts it. But don't bitch when something contradicts it, because you've been warned.
I see. Okay.
But new content is under that advisory council and approved. So the Darth Vader comic book that's running right now, the Skywalker Strikes comic book that's running right now, the Princess Leia that's running right now, that stuff really happened in the Star Wars universe.
So, okay, I'm taking all that in now. Are we running the risk of over-inflating again? Like, with all, you know, Princess Leia doesn't have 10 seconds to her name for all the side adventures she's on.
I've been focusing on Vader, so I'm pretty happy to know, you know, what Vader's been up to during all that time. And I think there's certainly room for him. I haven't read the Princess Leia stuff. I couldn't tell you. I mean, it sounds interesting. It's all about, you know, how is one a princess without a planet?
Oh,
but
that's
I don't know how well executed it is.
Good question.
I've been collecting those books, but have not read them yet. I'm ashamed to admit. So I will report back on Leia.
For me, I mean, I'm thinking about it. What Disney just did last year was they took out the EU. They kind of wiped the slate clean, except for the movies and the Clone Wars show, and now the Rebel show. And moving forward now with the comic books and stuff. So for me, what they've done is they've reset the clock for the next 30 years before they have to do massive house cleaning again.
Right.
And I also have a suspicion that I think they're going to expand the universes that Star Wars is in. The Rebel... Or I'm sorry, what is it? The Rogue... Rogue One is going to be a pure military Star Wars-style show. No Jedi, nothing. And that's... You know, that's not what you usually see in Star Wars. So that's what I think they're going to do, is they're going to find different places in the universe to put different genres, turn it into their own mega franchise, just like everybody's doing with Marvel and stuff like that.
I'm totally okay with that. And it's, you referenced Clone Wars as a unfortunately canonized series. I've watched that end to end, tough through all the bad spots. It had some bright spots. But all the Jedi you could ever want in that show, I'm happy to watch Star Wars where Jedi are rare and unique and special. Or non-existent.
See, I'm the other way around. One of the few things that got my interest with Dark Horse was the Old Republic, the 1,000 years ago, where Jedi were all over the place because I get to see them kicking ass and being badass.
Well, the Old Republic setting, I think... makes it cooler because you've got armies of Sith versus armies of Jedi. The Clone Wars, basically the, you know, fall of the Old Republic era stuff, you've got like a shadowy Sith Lord and a shadowy apprentice, like completely stymieing and perplexing like thousands of Jedi. And it's just like, it strains credulity to the degree that anything about space wizards and knights can strain credulity.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, that's what I want to come from. I want to see, like, you know, armies of Jedi kicking ass. That was one of the first, you know, big disappointments for me with watching those three that shall not be named. Was two Jedi? Holy crap! We're doomed. And I was like, yeah, this is gonna get what?
To be fair, when you did see a small army of Jedi, they were doing that awful scene in the arena where the bug men were attacking them, and they were. Just kind of swinging at CG nothingness. Remember that?
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, I don't.
That yeah, was that's, wasted.
That's why Sam Jackson wanted his purple lightsaber.
Yeah, so he could stand out.
Yeah, fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'll say one more thing along those lines, Chris. If you want to see a badass scene of Jedi charging Sith, watch the opening animation to the Old Republic MMORPG. It's really badass.
Oh, yeah, it is. Also, don't forget, I can't remember how to pronounce his name, the guy that did Dexter's Laboratory in Samurai Jack.
Oh, Gendy Tarkovsky, whatever, I can never.
Yeah, his Clone Wars stuff had Mace Windu just leveling entire horizons of droids. It was great.
Yeah,
in 15 minutes or less.
It had Yoda push an army back onto a spaceship and then push the spaceship back up into space, too.
But, what's not awesome about that?
I mean, we can get into the sort of zaniness of Force powers, which is actually an interesting segue into something I wanted to discuss with you guys. Are we going to see a return to the more subdued, slow-paced Force? I mean, is Luke going to have taught the new budding crop of Jedi to fight in a more reserved way? Or are we going to see like more wire fu and, you know, parkour and kicking and flipping and nonsense combined with just zany Force lightning everywhere?
No, it's going to be zany Force lightning everywhere. Because no one has any instruction in it. It's all a bunch of Force sensitive people like exploding overnight.
Oh, so they're not going to necessarily be good at it. They're just going to be like, okay, so we might see some unrefined, just raw force users, basically.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but can we see some clumsy plotting lightsaber battles as opposed to the highly choreographed stuff we saw, especially in episode 3? That battle with Obi-Wan and Anakin dragged on way too long and was way too much of a dance for my taste.
Well, you know, you just touched on something I wanted to segue into, if you don't mind. How much of Mr. Lucas's participation was in the three that shall not be named?
Too much.
Yeah, like too much. Like, here are the movies that are done. No, I don't like them. Change this.
And then everybody's two favorites are the ones he was the least involved in, right?
Yes, yes.
And now all they said is he's a creative consultant. Can you hear the question marks I have in the... not question marks. 3, 2, 1. Can you hear the quotation marks I have in the air when I say that?
Well, you're wondering to what degree he's consulting?
No, I know. That's what they said is he's just consulting. He has no real say in it whatsoever. So I have, I liked what I saw in Star Trek. I'm sure a lot of people did. So I have full faith that with his, involvement being minimum, if we see some crazy stuff, it's going to be good crazy stuff. But I think we're going to see a little comedy thrown in there too, because like in Star Trek, he wasn't above throwing in action with the comedy.
I don't mind a little lightheartedness in my Star Wars. I don't need a CG buffoon character ruining the movie.
Well, like one example was, both of them dealt with the character Scotty, right?
Yeah, Simon Pegg. But that guy is just amazing anyway, on top of it. But like he was pretty funny.
Yep. But, they're running around, and then there was another one where they're shooting down through asteroids. I think we have full faith, like I said. We're going to see some crazy stuff, but there's going to be some comedy in it, and it's going to be entertaining fight scenes, regardless of whether they're going to be slow, plotting. Here is a swordmaster pretending to be beat back by a young actor who doesn't even know which side of the sword he's holding on to.
Hmm. right, gotcha. So, what else should we cover, guys? We've talked about Star Wars and our expectations for it. Why don't we talk about the trailer itself? It's a couple minutes of joy, I think, that we can discuss. What stands out? What grabbed your attention? What do you want to seize on from that trailer? Maybe talk about for a couple minutes.
Everything.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, I think I got a little smile on my face when I saw the downed Star Destroyer, and yeah. Then towards the end, I had some dust going on somewhere in my eye, maybe a little goosebump on the arm there towards the end.
I had some goosebumps going the whole time, but the very end, yeah, you're talking about the Chewie and Han presumably walking onto the flight deck of the Falcon, I guess?
Oh, yeah. That couldn't have been anything else with that background.
Well, I just want to make sure that I'm not... the cobwebs haven't clouded my own vision. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Did you guys... Well, there was also a crashed X-Wing in the foreground of that scene with the crashed Star Destroyer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so clearly... I kind of want to know the backstory behind that, but I'd rather just that it be the detritus of the war. You know what I mean? Brian, you were laughing.
No one's mentioning... Okay, so how many crashed Star Destroyers were there?
I only saw the one. Was there another one in the background?
Well, there was the one that they flew in, the Falcon flew into as well.
That could have.
I don't know if that was the same one.
Maybe from another angle, because its thrusters would have been up in the air, right?
Well, it was the bottom side. Like I told you guys, I'm ready to dork out about this.
Do it.
Dork.
It's the bottom size, and those engines aren't a Star Destroyer. They're a Super Star Destroyer.
Oh, so like the one that crashed with the 4th of July fountain effect into the Death Star?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, that might explain why the planet's a desert planet now.
It wasn't, 20 years ago.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because that was a pretty massive ship. For them to basically be flying through it. I mean, it was, I won't say it's on the scale of the Death Star, but they are flying through this thing. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
What are the factions we're seeing? Of course, you could probably go out and read and there's an official line on this, but obviously you've got an ascendant New Republic, trying to battle certain hardcore remnant elements of the Empire, I guess,
Have you heard their names yet?
I haven't, but...
Okay, so the Empire faction is called the First Order.
Okay.
And the rebels are called the Resistance for some reason, which leaves a question mark for me, because wouldn't they just be called the New Republic or something?
But I thought they had pretty much won or had the upper hand by now. That's interesting, yeah.
No one says it's the same people.
Maybe it is a splinter of the Empire that's surviving, and these people aren't the New Republic. They are, you know, the rebels that are with, that are trying to fight within this Imperial, I'm sorry, First Order dominated part of space until the Republic can send them help.
Oh, okay. So I see that this is a sort of a redoubt for the Imperial cause, and within it, that there is still a rebellion afoot. Okay, that's an interesting thought.
I mean, you know, historically, it would be like the French Resistance in Nazi-occupied, you know, France.
Except they'd actually be doing something. Oh!
No!
Ouch. No. Come on. The French Resistance were actually pretty heroic. I'm kidding to our French listeners.
And there's never been any ties to Nazism in the Empire ever.
None whatsoever, yeah. So, yeah, interesting. So you're thinking something akin to the French Resistance in Vichy France or whatever it was called.
Yeah, that's a thought.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you guys think about that? What are your thoughts on what the factions are that we're seeing here?
Nah, I got nothing. I mean, that sort of isn't really what I focus on. I was more focused on, I'll talk about what I was focused on later, but what about you, Brian?
So there's this one scene where it's very Nazi-esque and all the new troopers are lined up and there's the banner in the background. It is definitely Imperial-inspired banner, but it's not the Imperial logo.
Oh, so this lends even more credibility to this being like an offshoot branch or a autonomous remnant, maybe, Brian?
Either an autonomous remnant or like someone trying to get things back in shape.
Okay. They seem to have their act together because their stormtrooper stuff looks really cool. And Cam, I sense maybe some of the things you're focusing on had to do with the visual nature of the trailer. What would you like to focus on? What really grabbed your attention?
Well, I mean, you know, of course, I've been on the web, you know, ever since the trailer came out, and you know, there's people saying one thing, other people saying other things. You know, you never know what's true, what's not true. But what sort of struck me when I first watched the trailer was the fact that Luke or whoever's talking says, you know, when he's talking about the Force, my father has it, and then they show the mangled mask of Darth Vader, you know, sitting there, and so that really sort of got to me, you know. So is Vader around? Is he still alive, or is he just a glowy, or you know, what does that mean? Is Vader alive? The second thing, and I've seen, this was actually something that really has been a buzz over the last day or two. The fact that Boba Fett, people are saying Boba Fett was not killed by the Sarlacc in Return of the Jedi.
No.
And that he will be returning.
I thought we had a real Rancor on the line for a moment.
And even going a step further, I've seen some people in forums and different articles say that he will be the one to kill Han.
I am so sick of the slavish, pun intended, fan service devoted to this overplayed bit character who died like a chump. Please, can we just leave this guy in the pit and move on?
Yeah. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Do we have any Fett fans here? I don't mean to offend. I just really hate this guy.
I don't hate him. I just don't love him like other people do.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I didn't have any sort of like, oh my gosh. I think actually I found out about everybody liking Boba Fett a lot much later in my fandom.
What about you, Brian? What are your thoughts on Fett?
Nah, he was kind of badass, but I don't know. He probably should have died in the ring, in the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, you can't let every little group of fans have their cake.
Can you?
This is space opera, not superhero comics.
Right. Now, evidently, if the and I've read some of these articles too. If the Star Wars Battlefront trailer is to be believed, and taken as pure canon as apparently it is, he's still alive. So he crawled out of the Sarlacc pit and he's here to plague the galaxy once again with his just stupidity. I don't know what else to say.
I mean, or he's another clone, you know, I mean, okay. That's his whole thing, right?
That's kind of what I'm crossing my fingers for, because that is just Mandalorian armor.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get a great look at the Battlefront trailer, so maybe it has, like, the dent and the Wookiee tail or whatever. Maybe it is him, but the iconic image is just mass-produced armor.
I would be fine with that if it was just, like, Dingo Fett, some, like, one of the former clone troopers who, having been dismissed in the wake of the Empire's collapse, took up the mantle of his template, I guess.
Starting a new rumor, it's Rex.
Oh, Rex from the Clone Wars?
Rex Fett.
That's pretty good. That's actually pretty good.
And, you know, I've seen different things, too, where, like, they're saying J.J. Abrams has said that, you know, Vader is not coming back, Chancellor Palpatine is not coming back, you know, all these people are not coming back. But if you remember, going back to Star Trek again, like we did before, he denied for months that Benedict Cumberbatch was going to be Khan in the second Star Trek movie. And he was just completely lying. He's completely lying about that. So, I mean, you can't, you know, we're not going to know, obviously, until December, probably. And to be honest with you, I don't want to know. I want to go in. I hate spoilers. I hate, you know, like just this last week or two, 4 episodes of Game of Thrones got leaked. And I refuse to watch them. One, because I just hate spoilers and I'd rather just watch, you know, when it's going to come out. And two, because I don't know. I hate this whole like culture of, oh, got to get it out first. And you know, if you're not first, you're last. It's just like, it's ridiculous.
Well, I'm voting for the Force Ghost theory. You know, Luke's getting that point where he's a Jedi Master and he's starting to speak in weird riddles. If you're not as enlightened as he is, that's my theory.
I hate to be this guy, and I don't really want to believe this, but I will for the sake of conversation. That speech is verbatim from when Luke told Leia she was a Jedi in Return of the Jedi. So it's probably just something they copy and pasted and didn't think much about.
Right. Yeah, probably. That would explain the present tense thing. And it had echoey elements to it. So was he recalling something, maybe?
I think he was talking to whoever brought him the saber.
Mm.
But I don't think it meant anything deeper. I think that's a, you know, Vader stops Boba Fett from shooting at 3PO.
Yes. Stupid fan theory. Yes.
I want it to be true.
What do you guys think of... What's the little roller droid, B6?
BB-8.
BB-8, yeah, sorry, okay. What do you guys think of him? He looks cool.
He's awesome. I like him.
I'm floored that he's actually real.
I know, that kind of makes me really happy, and I hope points to a future involving a lot of effects using real stuff. I guess they call that practical effects or whatever, versus the CG. If you've looked at episode 1 or 2, they are looking really rough, man. I mean, they are not aging well at all.
Nope. Haven't seen them in a while. No rush to.
They're bad.
The only thing I'm worried about is if you watched, again, you know, the Anaheim presentation instead of just the trailer, why are they being antagonistic to R2?
Oh, having BB like taunt him and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't really know either. Maybe is he an Imperial droid or something?
I mean, R2 would just smoke that poor guy. Like,
actually, that's true. He'll throw oil on you and light you on fire.
He did have a passive aggressive nature.
Never mind passive aggressive. To Brian's point, he like kills like super battle droids. He has an aggressive aggressive nature. There's no passive to it when he gets mad.
The things Jedi run from, he lights up.
You think he's going to be a Swiss Army knife this time with all sorts of powers and gadgets hidden in his body again?
That's R2, one of the safest things of fan service you can probably do in that movie.
Have R2 be able to pull out all sorts of tricks?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'm assuming BB-8. So I think BB-8, if we're going with this passing the torch thing, is the next generation's R2. Not that R2 will no longer be part of the scene, although he might die. But BB-8 is their new iconic little droid, right?
He's probably just making Jedi holocrons with Luke.
Maybe, yeah.
I am amused, though, that both of them still have the same arch enemy. Stairs.
They can't get past the stairs. That's good.
R2's got thrusters.
That's true. Now.
Well, then, but then not, and now maybe he has them again.
Yeah, and BB-8 can roll. I'm sure he could figure out a way.
I think BB-8 is good because whereas from the original trilogy, we regressed into the technology of the... Sorry. Whereas in the prequel trilogy, not the original trilogy, we had a certain level of technology, and it regressed by the original trilogy. Now we're seeing some technology make some strides forward. BB-8 obviously looks like a more advanced little astromech-like droid. The armor that both the good guys and the bad guys are wearing looks a little more high-tech and polished. The ships look a little better. We're definitely in the future where the technology has improved at least marginally, right?
Well, 30 years, right? I mean,
yeah.
One would hope.
Well, on top of that, I can't remember where I read it or where I got the impression, because it's been, 30 years. But I think part of it was, and maybe it was just a critique, that the Emperor designed it that way, that the entire military complex was all about churning out cheap shit and keeping people just busy and drudgery with all that maintenance and manufacturing. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
Hence the TIE fighters versus like the better engineered X-Wing, you mean, Chris?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Could be. But the ships we are seeing kind of looked like just sort of advanced TIE fighters, didn't they?
They got white panels.
Brian would be the expert on that.
Yeah, they looked almost like repainted TIE. I will say this, though. Blasters are sure of a hell of a lot more powerful.
Explain.
Well, in, let's see, Empire, they're blasting away as Slave One takes off, right?
Yes, yeah.
And, like, nothing. It plinks off the ship, which kind of makes sense since they're not, like, you know, turbo lasers or anything. In this one scene in the trailer, the stormtroopers are firing handheld, like, blasters. They're not even rifles. And just TIE fighters are just blowing up all over and...
The hangar scene,
yeah.
Where they're like, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Actually, I think one of the TIEs is firing on the other TIE, and people are assuming that is like when one of the heroes is making his escape.
Oh.
Maybe.
Guys, there's a final point I wanted to bring up, and it's with regard to what I assume is A, if not the villain of this movie. The individual wielding a glowing red lightsaber, which typically signifies that you're a bad guy, looked a hell of a lot like Darth Revan from the Knights of the Old Republic game. Do you guys know who I'm talking about, and do you agree?
I think his name is Kylo Ren, isn't it?
Yeah.
In this one?
So,
But Tom, I don't know who you're talking about in the old one.
The armor is strikingly similar, unless I'm... Gotcha. Imagining incorrectly, right? Brian, you played the game, am I right?
It very similar, yes.
Okay. Kylo Ren. So how do you know this, and who is this Kylo Ren? I admit to trying to avoid doing a lot of reading because I want to be surprised.
I just know from the forums, and it was revealed this weekend in the at the Disney thing.
Anaheim had a lot of like artist sketch, and yeah. They had the suits like on display, and they would label it like, you know, Kylo Ren's armor, Kylo Ren's lightsaber.
Okay, and Brian, I think pre-show you were sort of talking about either some theories you had regarding this individual, or maybe some information you had based on having done more reading.
Well, there's all kinds of spoilers and counter spoilers and leaks and intentional leaks that aren't correct. And so who knows? But one of the more popular theories was that Kylo might be collecting ancient Jedi / Sith artifacts.
Oh, I see.
So he might, that might be like new guy in old armor. It doesn't necessarily have to be Revan.
Okay. But new guy is, what's the word I'm looking for? New guy is a devotee. In other words, is on board with the Sith program.
Well, with all the Sith dead, he has to learn somewhere. So he goes to, like, you know, imprinted items, like obviously an ancient Jedi, an ancient Sith warlord's armor would be pretty attuned to the dark side.
Okay. Maybe he goes to Korriban or whatever the Sith homeworld is and finds some holocrons there or some such.
Could be.
Mm. Yeah. And Brian, didn't you, I think you brought up on a previous episode that like cross lightsaber, wasn't that supposed to be maybe some sort of relic or Sith artifact as well?
It's apparently kind of like a plasma blade, like before they really learned how to like focus the crystals.
Mm.
So it's like a raw version, which either means he's one of the emergents or it's ancient.
Gotcha.
Or means nothing, you know, obviously we don't know.
Yeah, or they just wanted something to look badass.
So then that's why Luke Skywalker's lightsaber is kind of featuring in the trailer, because it may be the object and MacGuffin of why the whole adventure is starting.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like the young ones find it and have to rush it to him before someone evil gets their hands on it or something.
So
interesting.
Yeah, no replay of like the Nazis again with their fascination with the occult.
If it ain't broke.
That's true. They were constantly hunting for relics and runes and other things tying them to this past that really never existed. In the case of Star Wars, it did. So, okay, so you've got this relic collector or this, as I said, sort of a Sith sympathizer trying to reestablish that side of, or reestablish that faction maybe in the galaxy. I like that a lot. That sounds cool.
Did you guys see the silver stormtrooper with the cape?
Chrome trooper? I'm surprised no one's talking about him.
I actually,
that's fucking badass.
Her maybe.
I kept meaning to bring that up as one of the things that looked really cool. Yeah, so is that obviously some leader of the stormtroopers or something?
I don't know what he is, but he's fucking looks pretty badass.
Or she, let's be PC.
Or she, yeah. Yep, gotta be.
Also, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'll just say it anyway, because this has been a good episode. So 90% not breaking any PC laws makes it okay. Who's the Black Stormtrooper? Is he like a good guy or a bad guy who becomes a good guy? They show him enough that I'm led to believe he's a good guy.
Yeah, definitely a good guy. That's Mike. Isn't that the actor Michael B. Jordan? Is that his name? Or that might be someone else.
I don't know. I don't know the actor's name. I've seen him a few times. He clearly looks uncomfortable in his stormtrooper getup, so it leads me to believe that he's undercover, or he's a stormtrooper who's had a change of heart, or something like that.
I still think it's salvaged stormtrooper armor.
Oh, do you?
Well, he's yeah, on the desert planet where everyone's, like, you know, crashed ships left and right, scavenging for every scrap they can get their hands on.
Oh, so he might not even be with the First Order faction or whatever. That might just be what he happens to have salvaged.
Yeah, I think the guy's name is
John Boyega.
Boyega. Yep.
Yeah. I apologize to John and Michael B. Jordan, who apparently is a different actor.
Both of whom we are sure are avid listeners to the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. We hope this doesn't put you off to listening in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be more than happy to make it up to you by letting you be interviewed by us on the podcast.
Yes.
Yes, of course. I agree. I think he probably, like I said, I think I mentioned this in the past, on the past episode with the first trailer. I think I think it's maybe an homage to back when the rescue mission in episodes 4 through 6, when they dressed up in the stormtrooper outfits and rescued Leia.
Aren't you a little short to be a trooper?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so he's got... We may see him in some ill-fitting armor. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I picked up on the homage thing, too. He seemed out of place in the armor, just like Luke and Han did. They didn't quite seem right on them for some reason.
Yeah.
So, interesting. So much more to reveal. I'm looking forward to more trailers, but at the same time, I'm not. And I'm... Guys, I am trying so hard to resist looking things up online, because I really do want to be surprised. I don't want to go into the movie knowing too much.
I'm sort of stuck in the middle. I don't want to know anything, but I want to hear all the loony theories. Like, I love, like, reading all the crazy theories and then, like, you know, just, I guess, when it actually happens, like, knowing what, okay, well, that guy was right. This guy was totally way off base. I just, like, the theories just make me laugh sometimes.
Yeah. What about you guys? Are you going to dig up every bit of dirt you can? Or are you going to try to avoid more as we go forward?
I'm on the fence right now. I don't know. I'm tempted because I'm one of these guys that, you know, for me, it's the journey. So being spoiled is not so bad. But this time I'm tempted to try to go in as new as possible. But it is a challenge in this day and age to pull that off.
Indeed.
Especially when you're like a co-host on a nerd podcast.
True.
The journey. You're so new age, Chris.
It's the hero's journey. Thank you.
How about you, Brian?
I don't know. The one thing that is letting me feel good about reading the spoilers is knowing how many of them are just total bullshit. So I don't feel like anything's absolutely been spoiled. Like, I kind of agree with Cam, like the Game of Thrones episodes. I wouldn't want to watch those beforehand, you know? I don't want to know. But I can still go in surprised, like, oh, this was right about the sword, or this was right about the Star Destroyer, or oh, that was just totally bullshit. You know, like, there's still, like, some mystery.
Well, and the great thing, too, about the theories is that, like, a lot of people, it really, like, brings up, like, a lot of things that you maybe never thought about or you didn't even know about. Like, people will go through this whole long, convoluted history of all these different things that maybe, you know, that I wouldn't have known because I didn't read the EU or you know, or that book or whatever it was where they're getting sort of the impetus of the theory from. And so it just gives you, like, a lot of good back information that is true. And then, you know, then it turns it into, okay, and because of that, I think that this is why, you know, this guy was wearing stormtrooper armor in, you know, the trailer. So it's that to me is, like, I guess the best aspect of it. The second being, like, you know, I just want to go back and write post to the guy and be like, dude, you were so fucking off
base. Vindication from a nerd to a nerd. Nothing's better. I was right.
but no, yeah, I mean, the game and sort of the Game of Thrones thing. I mean, look, I've read the books twice and, you know, I know what's going to happen, but I still want to be surprised by the TV show.
See, the journey, yeah. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Oh, God.
Well, guys, I am looking forward to the continued journey, the journey to December, the journey to Christmas time, or whatever other holiday people happen to celebrate around that time. You'll be right here with us, hopefully, then. As we no doubt lose our minds over the 7th installment of the Star Wars franchise. Very much looking forward to it. Guys, let's just get a reading on everybody. Let's do I already said 9.9 out of 10. 1 to 10 scale. On a 1 to 10 scale, where are you guys at in terms of excitement and anticipation for this movie?
I feel I'm at, like, probably an 8 or so.
All right.
Because I kind of don't think it's going to be for us. Like, I kind of don't want to pass the torch, but yeah, I should.
I'm typically not the grouch, but I'd say 7? 6.5, 7?
Really?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, the trailer really got me going, but the more we talk about it, the more I sort of, like, retreat into my turtle shell that, like, okay, yeah, all right, there's some really awesome things that we saw, but I really don't want to get burned again either. So it's like, I'd say cautious optimism at a 7.
You know, you're pretty much stealing the words or reading my mind there, Cam. I'm kind of in the same boat. I might go up to an 8 on that, but still, you know, we'll see. At least, you know, even if it's not going to be for me as a fan, I still want it to be a kick-ass movie. And, you know, I thought we were going to, if we were going to grade just the trailer itself, gave me goosebumps. Oh. It's an 11.
Yeah, yeah. Trailer's 25. But, you know, the trailers, you know, how many good trailers have we seen? And then, you know, how many stinkers have we seen after that? Stinker movies.
Yeah, well, I can name 3 right off the top of my head, but there's no need.
Ouch.
I am looking most forward to this, guys. I'll just say it again. My 9.9, I'm going to stand firm. I was cautiously optimistic, and now I'm heedlessly optimistic. And I may pay the price, but we'll see.
Oh, man.
Speaking of price, though, I know something that's completely free and seldom dark-sided that our listeners can enjoy week after week, that being this podcast. We don't want to force you, but feel free. If you'd like to punch it on over to iTunes or whatever other podcatching software you happen to use, download our podcast there, subscribe to us, write us a favorable review, give us maximum stars. And if that's not really your cup of tea, force choke down our next episode on Stitcher.
Oh, God. This is the Facebook page you're looking for. Join us on Twitter, Instagram, and the Nerdtravaganza HQ Facebook group.
We are optimistic that you won't be cautious about heading to our website, nerdtravaganza.com, where you can find this and all of our back episodes, along with our comic book reviews, board game reviews, and all of our other premium content. Head on over to YouTube to check out our YouTube videos, which we are sure you will enjoy. And don't forget to send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com and do your best Jar Jar impression if you can.
And with all of our farewell housekeeping out of the way and the force now in balance, there's only one remaining thing to say. That was good.